Listening test. You will hear a number of different recordings, and you will have to answer questions on what you hear. There will be time for you to read the instructions and questions. And you'll have time to check your work. At the start of each recording, you'll hear this sound. You will hear each recording twice. At the end of the test, you'll be given 2 minutes to check your answers. Part 1. You're going to listen to the recording. Before you listen, you'll have 20 seconds to read the instruction carefully. And you'll listen to the piece twice.
Now listen and answer the questions.
Please sit down, Mr. Walsh. My name's Jane Swain, and I'm the personnel manager.
Hello, how do you do?
Now, this is just a short preliminary interview. I'd like to chat about your present job and what you've done up till now.
Yes, of course.
Well, could you tell me how long you've had your present position in Weston's? It is Weston's, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. I am not sure. Let's see. I left university in 2005. Is that right? Yes, 2005. Then I was unemployed for about 3 months. And then I traveled around America for a few months. So, yes, it must be about 3 years now, in fact.
Yes. And have you any particular reason for wanting to change jobs? I mean, why do you want to move?
Well, I actually like my present job and still find it interesting and stimulating. The salary's okay, so it's nothing to do with money, though you can always do with more. I suppose the thing is that I'm really very ambitious and keen to get promoted, so that's the real reason.
You say you like your job. Can you tell me what aspect you like most?
Oh, my dear, that's difficult. There are so many things. The other people are great. There's a good cooperative atmosphere. I mean, among the staff, and compared to other companies, the conditions are great. I mean, the office itself and the working conditions. And then there's the fact that they give me lots of room for initiative and let me make decisions. You know, that's what I really like most about the job.
Yes, well, we're looking for someone like that. You know, someone who isn't a clock watcher and who isn't too concerned about working fairly long hours.
Oh, I don't mind that. I'm used to it.
And what about your education? You went to Manchester University, didn't you?
Yes. After leaving school, I started a diploma course in design, but I decided to give it up and did an arts degree at university instead.
Good. And have you done any courses since? Please sit down, Mr. Walsh. My name's Jane Swain, and I'm the personnel manager.
Hello, how do you do?
Now, this is just a short preliminary interview. I'd like to chat about your present job and what you've done up till now.
Yes, of course.
Well, could you tell me how long you've had your present position in Weston's? It is Weston's, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. I am not sure. Let's see. I left university in 2005. Is that right? Yes, 2005. Then I was unemployed for about 3 months. And then I traveled around America for a few months. So, yes. It must be about 3 years now, in fact.
Yes. And have you any particular reason for wanting to change jobs? I mean, why do you want to move?
Well, I actually like my present job and still find it interesting and stimulating. The salary's okay, so it's nothing to do with money, though you can always do with more. I suppose the thing is that I'm really very ambitious and keen to get promoted. So that's the real reason.
You say you like your job. Can you tell me what aspect you like most?
Oh, my dear, that's difficult. There are so many things. The other people are great. There's a good cooperative atmosphere. I mean, among the staff, and compared to other companies, the conditions are great. I mean, the office itself and the working conditions. And then there's the fact that they give me lots of room for initiative and let me make decisions. You know, that's what I really like most about the job.
Yes, well, we're looking for someone like that. You know, someone who isn't a clock watcher and who isn't too concerned about working fairly long hours.
Oh, I don't mind that. I'm used to it.
And what about your education? You went to Manchester University, didn't you?
Yes. After leaving school, I started a diploma course in design, but I decided to give it up and did an arts degree at university instead.
Good. And have you done any courses since?
That's the end of part one. You now have 20 seconds to check your answers. Part 2. You're going to listen to another recording. Again, before you listen, you'll have 20 seconds to read the instruction carefully. And you'll listen to the piece twice.
Dr. Barrett?
Sammy, come in. Is Irene with you?
Yes.
Good. Sit down. Right, we're looking at how far you've got with your research project since we last met. You decided to do a survey about computer facilities at the university, didn't you?
That's right. We decided to investigate the university's open access centres, and in particular, the computer facilities. Lots of the students are having trouble getting access to a computer when they need one, so we thought it would be a useful area to research.
Good, fine. It's not a topic anyone has looked at before, as far as I know, so it's a good choice. So what background reading did you do?
Well, we looked in the catalogues in the library, but we couldn't find much that was useful. It's such a specialised subject, hardly anything seems to have been published about it.
And as well as that, the technology is all changing so quickly.
But the Open Access Centre has an online questionnaire on computer use that it asks all the students to do at the end of their first year. And the supervisor gave us access to that data, so we used it as a starting point for our research. It wasn't exactly what we needed, but it gave us an idea of what we wanted to find out in our survey. Then we designed our own questionnaire.
And how did you use it?
We approached students individually and went through our questionnaire with them on a one-to-one basis.
So you actually asked them the questions?
That's right. We made notes of the answers as we went along, and actually we found we got a bit of extra information that way as well, about the underlying attitudes of the people we were interviewing, by observing the body language and things like that.
How big was your sample?
Well, altogether, we interviewed a random sample of 65 students, 55% male and 45% female.
And what about the locations and times of the survey?
We went to the 5 open access computer centres at the university, and we got about equal amounts of data at each one. It took us 3 weeks. We did it during the week, in the day and in the evenings.
Not the weekends?
No.
So presumably your respondents were mostly full-time students?
Yes. Oh, you mean we should have collected some data at the weekends from the part-time students? We didn't think of that.
OK, it's just an example of how difficult it is to get a truly random sample. So, how far have you got with the analysis of results?
Well, everyone agreed there was a problem, but we're more interested in what they think should be done about it. The most popular suggestion was for some sort of booking system. About 77% of the students thought that would be best, but there were other suggestions. For example, about 65% of people thought it would help if the opening hours were longer, like 24 hours a day.
Dr. Barrett?
Sammy, come in. Is Irene with you?
Yes.
Good. Sit down. Right, we're looking at how far you've got with your research project since we last met. You decided to do a survey about computer facilities at the university, didn't you?
That's right. We decided to investigate the university's open access centres, and in particular, the computer facilities. Lots of the students are having trouble getting access to a computer when they need one, so we thought it would be a useful area to research.
Good, fine. It's not a topic anyone has looked at before, as far as I know, so it's a good choice. So, what background reading did you do?
Well, we looked in the catalogues in the library, but we couldn't find much that was useful. It's such a specialised subject, hardly anything seems to have been published about it.
And as well as that, the technology is all changing so quickly.
But the Open Access Centre has an online questionnaire on computer use that it asks all the students to do at the end of their first year. And the supervisor gave us access to that data, so we used it as a starting point for our research. It wasn't exactly what we needed, but it gave us an idea of what we wanted to find out in our survey. Then we designed our own questionnaire.
And how did you use it?
We approached students individually and went through our questionnaire with them on a one-to-one basis.
So you actually asked them the questions?
That's right. We made notes of the answers as we went along, and actually we found we got a bit of extra information that way as well, about the underlying attitudes of the people we were interviewing, by observing the body language and things like that.
How big was your sample?
Well, altogether, we interviewed a random sample of 65 students, 55% male and 45% female.
And what about the locations and times of the survey?
We went to the 5 open access computer centres at the university, and we got about equal amounts of data at each one. It took us 3 weeks. We did it during the week, in the day and in the evenings.
Not the weekends?
No.
So presumably your respondents were mostly full-time students?
Yes. Oh, you mean we should have collected some data at the weekends from the part-time students? We didn't think of that.
Okay, it's just an example of how difficult it is to get a truly random sample. So, how far have you got with the analysis of results?
Well, everyone agreed there was a problem, but we're more interested in what they think should be done about it. The most popular suggestion was for some sort of booking system. About 77% of the students thought that would be best, but there were other suggestions. For example, about 65% of people thought it would help if the opening hours were longer, like 24 hours a day.
That's the end of part 2. You now have 20 seconds to check your answers. Part 3. You're going to listen to another recording. Again, before you listen, you'll have 20 seconds to read the instruction carefully. And you'll listen to the piece twice.
I'm here today to talk about a wonderful project I've been involved in this summer called the Children's University. It's run every day for local children aged from 7 to 14 by a team of parents, teachers, students and local employers. It was originally set up by a local charity and has been running for the last 5 years. The aim of the Children's University is to inspire children and foster a love of learning. It sounds rather grand, I know, but it was amazing to watch the children working so enthusiastically on all the various projects. This year, the topic and overall theme was industry, building on previous year's themes such as culture and science. Each volunteer on the scheme was partnered with another with a different background. I was paired up with Mark, who was fantastic at motivating the children. He was a natural teacher, and the children really loved him. Not exactly what you'd expect from a lawyer. I'm a student at university doing biology, so we couldn't have been more different. The workshop material was written by the volunteers. I was in a group of six who taught a series of workshops on manufacturing in our city called Making Chocolate. The workshop included taking the children to visit the local factory, and we even had a tasting session. Other groups did things like making their own furniture and baking bread. Each child had their own booklet, which was stamped when they'd successfully finished a project. This was known by everybody as their passport. The children were very competitive and were always comparing to see who'd collected the most stamps. It really seemed to be much more effective in encouraging the children to do more workshops than last year, when group leaders simply signed their notebook each time they did a workshop. At the end of the Children's University, we held a graduation ceremony in the city's real university. This was held in the concert hall and was very exciting for the children. They all wore graduation caps and gowns, and afterwards everyone went to the dining hall for the official photos and refreshments. It was just like a proper graduation ceremony, and the children and their parents loved it. Every child that attended the Children's University was awarded a certificate. In addition, the children who had attended the most workshops received a gold medal each. Some had been to as many as 40 workshops over the summer. The main benefit for me of volunteering for the Children's University was learning from the other volunteers, because many of them were older than me and more experienced. For example, I had ample opportunity to practice problem solving and became much better at it. It's a useful skill that I can use in the workplace when I graduate. Another benefit is that it gave me the opportunity to work with children. I'd been undecided about whether to become a teacher or a social worker. While I loved helping the children learn, the experience has confirmed that what I most want to do is help children and their families in our community who are having difficulties. I think that having worked on the Children's University should definitely help me after I graduate and want to start my career, because I can show that I've got experience of working closely with children. I'm definitely going to do it again next summer. If you think this kind of work is for you and would like to register for next summer, come and ask me for an information pack after this talk. When you're sure it's what you want to do, you can download an application form from the Children's University website. I'm here today to talk about a wonderful project I've been involved in this summer called the Children's University. It's run every day for local children aged from 7 to 14 by a team of parents, teachers, students and local employers. It was originally set up by a local charity and has been running for the last 5 years. The aim of the Children's University is to inspire children and foster a love of learning. It sounds rather grand, I know, but it was amazing to watch the children working so enthusiastically on all the various projects. This year, the topic and overall theme was industry, building on previous year's themes such as culture and science. Each volunteer on the scheme was partnered with another with a different background. I was paired up with Mark, who was fantastic at motivating the children. He was a natural teacher, and the children really loved him. Not exactly what you'd expect from a lawyer. I'm a student at university doing biology, so we couldn't have been more different. The workshop material was written by the volunteers. I was in a group of six who taught a series of workshops on manufacturing in our city called Making Chocolate. The workshop included taking the children to visit the local factory, and we even had a tasting session. Other groups did things like making their own furniture and baking bread. Each child had their own booklet, which was stamped when they'd successfully finished a project. This was known by everybody as their passport. The children were very competitive and were always comparing to see who'd collected the most stamps. It really seemed to be much more effective in encouraging the children to do more workshops than last year, when group leaders simply signed their notebook each time they did a workshop. At the end of the children's university, we held a graduation ceremony in the city's real university. This was held in the concert hall and was very exciting for the children. They all wore graduation caps and gowns, and afterwards everyone went to the dining hall for the official photos and refreshments. It was just like a proper graduation ceremony, and the children and their parents loved it. Every child that attended the children's university was awarded a certificate. In addition, the children who had attended the most workshops received a gold medal each. Some had been to as many as 40 workshops over the summer. The main benefit for me of volunteering for the children's university was learning from the other volunteers, because many of them were older than me and more experienced. For example, I had ample opportunity to practice problem solving and became much better at it. It's a useful skill that I can use in the workplace when I graduate. Another benefit is that it gave me the opportunity to work with children. I'd been undecided about whether to become a teacher or a social worker. While I loved helping the children learn, the experience has confirmed that what I most want to do is help children and their families in our community who are having difficulties. I think that having worked on the children's university should definitely help me after I graduate and want to start my career, because I can show that I've got experience of working closely with children. I'm definitely going to do it again next summer. If you think this kind of work is for you and would like to register for next summer, come and ask me for an information pack after this talk. When you're sure it's what you want to do, you can download an application form from the Children's University website.
That's the end of the listening section. You now have 2 minutes to check all your answers. Time's up. Thank you.